Last week we finished up our series in John 11, and next week we will be beginning our summer series looking at various psalms in the Psalter. But this week we are going to come back and look at the verse from our Colossians series that was snowed out several months ago. But in God's providence, he's appointed this wonderful passage for us to hear from today. So I'm going to be reading this morning from Colossians chapter 3. I'm going to be reading verses 12 through 7, and we're going to be looking specifically at verses 16 and 17. Hear now the word of God. Put on, then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is God's word. Let's pray. Lord our God, we thank you for this word. We thank you that through the Lord Jesus, you open our eyes to behold the wonderful things in it. And we pray that you would speak to your church now through your word. I pray that my words would not simply be my words, but they would be your words. And we pray this, that you might build us up in Jesus, and that his life might dwell in us richly. And it's in his name that we ask these things. Amen. In our series through Colossians, we were looking at what life in Christ looks like. And as we read here in these verses, the Apostle Paul describes the glorious life of the people of Christ, the people of God, the church. They're a people with compassionate hearts, right? Kindness, humility. They're forgiving one another when they get on each other's nerves, or they sin against one another. They are meek. They're not only patient, but they peace dwells within them. And they are filled with a Christian love, the love of Christ, right? Suffuses the life of the body. Compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, love, peace, right? All these things. You might look at the picture and say, wow, that is a glorious picture, but, you know, too often that doesn't characterize my life. And so here, Paul really begins to summarize how it is that the body exhibits this life. How is it that you can display these glorious qualities? How is it that you display the life of Christ in you? Well, here in Colossians, Paul says it is through the word of Christ dwelling in you. He knows he could just give you a list of rules and say, you need to be these things. But a list of rules could be a heavy burden. And so Paul says, let the word of Christ dwell among you richly. What is it that produces those fruits of holiness? Well, Paul writes in Galatians that those qualities are the fruit of the Holy Spirit in you. But here we see that the Holy Spirit dwells in his people through the word. In fact, when you read Paul's letter to the Ephesians, which is very similar to Colossians, he wrote the letters around the same time, and they follow the same outline. It's helpful sometimes to compare those two letters. One can highlight the other. And in Ephesians, when he's giving this admonition, he says, be filled with the Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, right? Here he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So how are the people of God filled with the Spirit? How do you become filled with the Holy Spirit? It's by being filled with the word of Christ. You can't be filled with the Spirit unless you're filled with the word. And if you are filled with the word, you'll be filled with the Spirit. And then all these glorious aspects of the Christian life will be true of you. And will be true of the people of God. So this is Paul's admonition here. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. But what does it look like for the word to dwell richly? How does the word of Christ dwell richly in his people? And we see really three things here. Is the word will dwell among you as you speak it to one another, as you sing it, and as you keep centered on Jesus Christ. The word dwells richly as you speak it to one another, as you sing it, and as you center on Jesus Christ. So let's look at that. Let's look at those three things. That's the outline for this morning. First, Paul says, let the word of Christ dwell richly, speaking to one another. He says, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. So we are to verbalize that word of Christ to one another. Not just to think about it in our minds, not just to dwell it, but to speak it to one another. And he uses two words here, teaching and admonishing one another. What is that? Well, teaching has to do with instructing one another in who God is and what he's done. And when you teach, you're telling people who God is and what he's done. God is the God who's steadfast in his love. He's abounding in mercy. God is the God who richly provides all things for his people. Right? That's teaching. That's teaching. You have died and your life is hidden in Christ. That's teaching. That's instructing. It's speaking what's true about who God is and what he's done. It's the indicative, as theologians like to say. So teaching, and I want to ask you, how often do you teach one another? Do you speak, do you verbalize, right, God's character? Do you verbalize the great things that God has done to one another? Paul says that's how the word dwells richly among you. As you're at the dinner table, what is your conversation like? Are you speaking about who the Lord is, what he's done? As you're riding in the car with your family or with your friends, let your conversation be abounding in the word. So he says not only to teach one another, but he says admonish one another. Well, if teaching is speaking about who God is and what he's done, admonishing is exhorting people in the way to which they have been called. You have been called to walk in holiness. And what does that holiness look like? Well, that's what we see in the word. And so we're called to exhort one another. Called to exhort one another to be generous with all that God has given to us. We're called to exhort one another to be faithful with the things that the Lord has given to us. We're called to exhort one another to speak the truth. Exhort one another to be forgiving, right? To cover over the sins of your brothers and sisters. That's admonition. So we're to speak the word by teaching and admonishing one another. I want you to note here that he says
that we are to teach and admonish one another. That's to characterize the body of Christ.
It's a temptation to think, well, the preacher, he's the one who's been called to teach. The elders, they're the ones ordained to admonish. So that's not my job.
Well, you know what? The Lord has ordained and appointed and gifted preachers and teachers and elders to teach and admonish. But here, Paul's reminding us that that is not only the job of the men up here, but that is the job of the body. You're to teach and admonish one another.
In fact, Paul in Ephesians, he says that Christ, he gave gifts to men, and he gave some to be pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry.
Why do Pastor Tom and I stand up here and preach the word? It's to equip you with the truth, to be able to speak the word and encourage one another with those truths.
But notice also that he says to speak and teach to one another, teach and admonish one another in all wisdom.
In all wisdom. So he's saying, as you speak, your words are not to be the words of human tradition, of human wisdom, of the things that the world says, but it's to be filled with divine wisdom, the wisdom that's in the Word of God.
So how do we become filled with that divine wisdom?
Well, by dwelling on the Word. The Word dwells more and more in you the more you dwell on the Word.
And when the Word fills you,
then it just, it overflows as you encounter one another. I remember a pastor who spoke about his father. He said his father loved and just knew all these great hymns. And he said if you ever bumped into his dad, a line from a hymn would pop out.
And that's what we are to be with the Word of God, with the divine wisdom. As we're filled with it, you know, people bump into you, and what comes out is the words, as words of truth. And Proverbs 22:17 says,
"Incline your ear and listen to the words of the wise. Apply your heart to my knowledge, and it will be pleasant when you keep them within you. When you keep them within you, when all of them are ready on your lips." So he's reminding us, as you apply yourself to the Word, as you meditate, as you read on it, you reflect on it, you pray through it, then God's Word will fill you, and it will be ready on your lips to speak and to encourage a brother or a sister.
So we are to speak to one another. Speak the Word.
As you leave the service this afternoon, and you're talking with your family, you're talking with friends, let that word come out of you. Speak it. Don't hold it in, because you are God's design to build one another up. Speak that word.
Well, the word dwells in us richly as we speak it to one another, but also as we sing it.
What a beautiful thing, what a glorious thing that God has given us song, so that the word can dwell richly among us. We see here that the word dwells in us as we sing, both in a vertical direction and a horizontal direction. He says, as singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God.
So first and foremost,
as we sing the Word of God, we are to sing it to God.
It's as we gather together as the people of God, this is why we lift our hearts, singing hymns and psalms.
We're directing our hearts
to God. And that's important to remember because it's very easy as we're singing there for singing to become rote. You begin thinking about, maybe you're thinking, if you're like me and you're a musician, you tend to think about the musical aspects of the song. Your mind can be wandering, or you can just be going through the motions. But Paul says, sing to the Lord. Remember that as you're singing, as we respond here in prayer, remember that the living God is present with us, and you're singing to a person. But as you sing to him, you are connecting with the living God, and his life fills you more and more. So we are to sing to God. It's vertical direction. And as we sing to God, his word dwells in our heart more richly. There's something about music. You know, music is God's invention. And God designed music to take truth and put it deep into our hearts. There's something about melodies and harmonies that move our affections to align with the truths that we sing. It's a wonderful gift from the Lord. So this is why we are to sing. There's Sir Philip Sidney once said, "If you allow me to make the ballads of a nation, I don't care who makes the laws." You know what he was saying there is that song takes ideas and it shapes the hearts and the affections to those ideas. And so, the Lord has given us songs so that his truth can be planted deep within us and our affections can be aligned to love the God that we sing about and to desire the things that he has called us to. But there's not only a vertical direction in singing, there's also a horizontal. Because as you sing to the Lord, your brothers and sisters hear you singing and they are encouraged by that, by those words that you sing. That's why Paul here says, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. In fact, what Paul is saying is here is that this is a way in which you teach and you admonish one another, by singing with one another. Paul makes this even clearer in Ephesians when he says, speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So perhaps you come to church and you say, you know, I'm just feeling tired and I don't have a great voice. My voice is lousy. I'm just going to sort of keep my voice quiet. I don't want it to be distracting. No, Paul, right? The Lord says he's given you a voice to encourage those around you. You are called to sing to him, to sing with all your heart, so that you can teach and admonish your brothers and sisters. Earlier this week, Tom and Trish and I were at the pastor's conference in Harvey Cedars, and the singing there was so wonderful. And I remember as we were singing some of these hymns, we were singing It Is Well With My Soul, and every person in that room was singing from the bottom of his and bottom of her heart. And as I was singing and hearing the line, though Satan should buffet, the trial should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his blood for my soul. And my heart leapt. I said, yes, it's true. The Lord, Jesus, has regarded my helpless estate, and his blood has been shed. My brothers and sisters were teaching and admonishing me with their voices as they sang. And that's what you are called to do. So as in your families, you have regular devotions at the dinner table, nightly devotions. Do you sing? Sing to the Lord with one another and encourage one another. When you gather with your friends, sing to the Lord and encourage one another. Let his word dwell among you richly. So the word dwells in us richly as we speak it to one another, as we sing it to the Lord. And thirdly, as we keep Jesus at the center. Keep Jesus center. And this is what Paul's driving at in verse 17. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Why does he say this? Remember what Jesus said to his disciples in John 15. He said, disciples, apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, then you can do all things. As the Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. So don't try to live apart from the life of the Lord Jesus. You think, how can I live with a compassionate heart, with humility, with patience, with faithfulness, with forgiveness? Well, it's not on your own, but it's through the Lord Jesus, through his life in you. So how can you speak to one another in wisdom, in true wisdom? It's only through the Lord Jesus. It's only through him. And so as Paul calls, as Paul calls his church to let the word of Christ dwell richly, remember that Jesus is the word. And so when Jesus is in you, then the word is in you. Remember, God gave his word to the people on Mount Sinai, and he wrote the words on tablets of stone, but it couldn't change the people. He said, no, you need the word in your heart. Well, how does the word get into your heart? How does true wisdom that brings life and peace get into your heart? It's through the life of the Lord Jesus in you. When Jesus dwells in your heart through faith. He says, let the word of Christ dwell richly, speaking to one another in all wisdom. Right? Well, Jesus is wisdom. He became wisdom for us. And as Paul says earlier in the letter, in Christ is hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And that wisdom gets inside you when Christ is inside you. So, as you read the word, you seek to fill yourself with the word, you pray, Lord Jesus, fill me with your wisdom. Fill me with your life. We have to keep Jesus at the center. And so as you teach and admonish one another, remind one another of the gospel. Right? You don't just tell people, you know, stop sinning, stop this pattern, do this, right? Laying rules on people is a burden. But when you say, go to the Lord Jesus, remember what Jesus has done for you. Remember that you have died with Christ. Your life is hidden with him. Then you encourage one another and you instruct one another in true wisdom. So when Paul here admonishes his church, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You know what he's saying? Let Christ dwell in you richly. Let Christ dwell in you richly. And what a wonderfully encouraging way of putting that. Notice how Paul says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let Christ. Paul doesn't say, you know, work yourself up to being like Christ. You work and work and work, and then maybe as a reward, Christ will give you some help. No, he says, Christ is the one who works in you to will and to do for God's good pleasure. Christ is the one. And his word, how does he do that? He does that through his word, the word of truth. He does it through the gospel. Through the gospel, Christ is born in you.
and through his word, Christ grows in you. And so Paul says, just feed on the word. Fill yourself up with the word and let it do its work. Let Christ do his work in you.
And then when Christ is dwelling in you richly, and you see the glorious fruits of his life in you, when you see the glorious fruits of his life
in your family, in your friends, in the body of Christ, when you see the glorious life of Christ here in Knox, and you know it's the life of Christ, what can you do but give the Lord thanks? Jesus, I thank you that your life is in us. I thank you for what you have done and for what you are doing in us.
And that's why Paul ends this with giving thanks to God the Father through him.
You know, when the word of Christ dwells richly in a person, they're filled with gratitude. When the word of Christ dwells richly in his people are a people filled with gratitude. And they direct that gratitude
towards God because they know that it's from God. And they give thanks through Jesus because they know that it's only through Jesus that they receive these blessings. It's only through Jesus that you receive all of these heavenly blessings.
So, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Speak it to one another. Sing it from the heart to God and encourage one another.
And do it all through Jesus in his name. Because apart from him, you can do nothing. But in him and through him, you can do all things. He will do all things. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you, the Word, the eternal Word of God, became flesh and you dwelt among us in order that your life might dwell in us. And we pray that you would fill us with your wisdom, you would fill us with your word, that you would fill us with your life, and that that word, that life, would spill over as we speak to one another, as we encourage, we teach, and we admonish, as we sing to you, and as we do all things in your name. Without you, we can do nothing, but through you, we can do all things. And so we ask these things, giving you thanks for your life. It's in Jesus we pray. Amen.